As I mentioned a minute ago, I do believe this is a special and yet even a historic day, and questions are swirling. I don't know about you, but I'm asking these questions like, now what? Right? Okay, now what? What's next? What are we going to do now? Because so much effort and work sometimes leads up into something kicking off, if you will, and happening. Now what? What do we do now? And trust me, we believe the Lord is leading us into something. We're just not like, okay, now what? But I mean, those questions come. And I think it's good to ask, what do we do now? And I want to answer that question and lead us in our time in the Word this morning by saying this: what we do flows out of who we are. So I want to spend time in that. I want our hearts' attention to go towards that, not so much what's next to do, but what's the next step in our faith and obedience. Who are we? And today I want to encourage you. I want to remind you of who you are and the identities you have because of Jesus. And maybe for some in this room today, to tell you that you can have a new identity. And the stuff that you've been rolling around in and struggling with, that doesn't have to be you anymore. And you can have a new identity. So I want to talk through these things today as we launch into the next 7 weeks, looking at the overviews of our identities in Christ. So that's where you see the identities of a healthy church. What does it look like to be the church that God wants us to be? What's it look like to be a multi-congregational church? What does it look like to be a church in the heart of a city, or down in northwest Indiana in a gritty, scary neighborhood in Michigan City, or going off into a quiet little hipster town in LaPorte? What does that look like there for us to do this together? What will it mean for us? Well, all of that may differ, but our identities are shared and they are the same because of our identity in Christ. We all care about our identity. Would you agree with that? And if you don't, I want you to go home. Don't do it now. Look at your Facebook page. Look at your Twitter account. Look at your Instagram. Look at your Snapchat. I don't even know what they're coming up with anymore. I'm getting old, but I'm trying to stay cool with you guys. So whatever it is you're looking at, look at those things. Maybe not yourself, but look at the world around you. Have you ever seen a selfie taken in the first time you wake up? Like, have you ever done that? Like, oh, I'm looking up. Right, here it is. Never. Why? Have you ever taken, now come on, have you ever taken a picture of, you know what it's like when there's no more cereal and you got the generic Cheerios and it's all the crumbs at the bottom that floats like a haze at the top, and you got a few left, which you're going to eat anyway. Have you ever taken like, well, bam, look. Breakfast in its glory. You don't do that. No, you're going to go to the nicest restaurant, right? Have you ever taken a picture of your Bud Light? No, it's always some like flat, you know, like a fireplace back and a hipster guy with his glorious beard pouring a pint of I don't even know what it is, right? And you're like, look what I got. That's what I see. And that's what we do. Why? Because we have an identity we want to project. We want an identity that we want people to see us as, even though it may not be real. And here's what, we kill ourselves trying to keep it. I like to think, you know, as I get older, I get away from that. But even last night, I got my hair cut. And as I'm getting my hair cut, I usually go to this like really cool barber, and there's no cool barbers open, and I needed to get cut. So I go to this place, it's like Bo-Rix, if you guys even know what that is. But it's like, but with like flash on it, so it's kind of looks like an old school barbershop, but it's really just a salon, and I don't like going to salons. They're gonna mess me up, right? So I sit down and this lady cuts my hair that looks like she has no idea what I want, and off she goes, and I'm scared to death, and I'm thinking, I am so wrapped up in what, and I'm not like, look at me, I'm awesome, but I don't want my hair to look stupid. I'm wrapped up in an identity. But then she says something that turned my heart's affections towards her and her hair cutting. You have the softest beard I've ever felt. And my beard was pretty long and big, and I wanted it trimmed down. What do you do with it? Well, I started telling her, well, I put this oil and this beard balm, and I do all this stuff to it. And I'm like, I sound like an idiot. And then I was like, man, but I got a pretty good beard game going here in the moment. And then here comes a guy into the door, dressed like a lumberjack. You know who I'm talking about. And his beard is just incredible. And I thought, oh, if my beard could look like, I'm being honest, and I'm being a little silly, but that was some of that spinning in my mind a little bit. And if you don't think you think that way, just start to be a little bit aware of your thoughts and yourself, and you'll see that we want to project an identity, an image. And churches do that. Oh my, do churches do that? We're the intelligent church, right? We're going to use poetic verse, and we want to be the smart church, or we want to be the really, we don't care, man, it's all cool church. You know, I've been a part of those. I've been a part of all kinds of different styles. And look at their Twitter account. Look at their Facebook page. And pastors are killing themselves trying to mold people into an identity that they want to impress their friends. If you don't think that's true, come visit one of our gatherings of pastors and you'll hold yourself back and I'll start pointing it out to you. It happens. Christ Church, we are to be who we have been created to be. And rest in that because it's happening for us. You know what I'm saying? If we rest in the identity that we have in Christ, we don't have to work to achieve the identity. We just live in the reality of what has already happened and been given to us. Hear the reading of the word this morning from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 19. Would you stand with me for the reading? From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. This is the word of God. Amen. You can be seated. The big point here is in Christ. This is our identity. This is who we are. We are in Christ. Say that with me. In Christ. One more time. In Christ. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are together. This is the identity. You can put whatever title you want to before or after your name. When you tell your story, you can tell where you've been and in hopes to where you're going. But no matter, the truth exists. You are in Christ. And that should give us hope. That should give us peace. When you're at the moment where you think you can soar off the mountaintop, like, whoo, this is awesome, or you feel like you're crawling in the muck, in Christ. That's who you are. And our identities flow from that. So over the little time we have left, I want to make two quick points here. That because we are in Christ, we have the same identities. We share the same DNA, if you will. See, I come from a big Irish family. And I don't know all my cousins. I meet people all the time and say, I'm your cousin, blah, 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 blah. I have no idea who they are. I have second cousins. And you guys get it from big families. And because of that, it doesn't mean I'm still not their family. We share the same DNA. If you look at a lot of Galloways, you'll see giant ears, right? And that's kind of a thing for our family. You can tell those are their Galloway ears, people say. It is what it is, right? It's a sign of intelligence. I don't know. But nonetheless, we share traits. We share similarities, but I don't have to know them all. I don't know everybody that's a Christian. I don't even know all of you in this small room. But we're still family. And we share the same DNA, no matter what we look like, where we're from, where we're going. This room is incredible. Can I just say that? If you look around and it's like just hear stories, as I'm getting to know some of you, it's incredible where we are at, where we're from, even today. We have pastor and missionaries from Ecuador. That's cool. I mean, can I just say that? Like, that doesn't happen all the time, right? We have people from Texas. We have people from the West Coast, the East Coast, from Europe, from, I'm going to start messing things up, but from everywhere. We are all different. When you think of home, there's a different picture. But if we could all see, because we're family, we have the same home. We come from the same house because we come from the same Father. That's incredible. That's incredible to think of that. And as the Lord continues to give us days, that just spreads more and more and more. So here we go. Let me go back to those two points. Because we're in Christ, we have the same DNA or shared identities. And the second is this: these identities are given to us. They're given to us. They're put on us through the gospel. That's why we call them gospel identities. That's why we call them gospel identities. So let's talk about that. Because we're in Christ, we have the same DNA. Oxford defines identity as this: the fact or being, the fact or being who or what a person or a thing is. I want to say that again. It's the fact. You see that? Like, not the desired outcome, like me trying to get a big bushy beard or you taking pictures or your microbrew. It is the idea of, it's the truth of the reality of your identity, of who you are. So it's the identity, it's the fact or being who or what a person or thing is. And our identities in Christ that I want to talk about over the next 7 weeks, you're going to hear this being preached. And this is something we want to share, and every Christ Church member to understand. And not just to keep locked away up here, but actually remember, what we do flows out of who we are. So the calling you'll see and the desire for us to continue in ministry together will flow out of these identities. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to go to a school. You don't have to be trained to have these identities. You already have them because of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you. That should be good news, because I've sat in those chairs like, oh my gosh, they want a new project here. I got to go learn to do something like this, right? But this isn't that kind of moment. It's already who you are if you're in Christ. Here are the identities. You are worshipers. We are worshipers. We have been given this identity. The second is, we are community. We are family. We are family whether we like it or not, right? I mean, that's just how it goes, but I think we like it. But here's the cool thing. I'll come back to that in a minute. I'll go off. We're learners. We're disciples. We're learners. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's change the way we think. Let's change the way we see the world around us, so we can see and respond like Christ. We are servants. We are servants. I just want to give a shout out to all of you who just put this room in this building together today, and all the changes has been incredible. And all those serving little ones over there right now, and all that's taking place in here, from musicians to people, you don't even see people pulling in chairs and out there. That's serving. But let me tell you, Jesus didn't save us to be ushers. Right? This is just us as family putting the table together. But we're to serve the world around us. And serve, just when you go to the restaurant, open a door for somebody. Love them. You know, I'll come back to that. Then missionaries. We're missionaries. I think we can get down with the worshiper. I can come here, like, woo, yes, Lord, raise my hands. I did it. Check, right? Learners, I'll read a book. Okay, got it. Check, right? I'll serve somebody. Here's the door for you. Come on in. Served. Check. Right? But this idea of missionary starts to freak everybody out. We are a sent people. The whole story of God is a story of mission. Jesus comes to the world, sent to save us. And then before he returns to the Father, after doing all the work in obedience he was called to do, he says, now you go make disciples. Baptize them and teach them the way that I've taught you. And he gives us his promise of his presence. Christ Church, we need to shut it down if we're not all passionate about going out and doing this. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to Ecuador with Steve and Sandy. Some of you probably should. Maybe. I mean, if that's the word of the Lord, you're like, I want to go do that. Let's just stop this. Like, I'm scared. Just go. But some of you need us to talk to the barista, right? Or just share with the coworker. Or like last night, I'm in an Uber and a guy's got a cross hanging on his deal. And here's the temptation in my mind. Well, I don't need to talk with him. He's already there. Somebody could have given him an air freshener and he just throws it up there. And that was, you get it. It's but we don't have to think of somebody that's far, far away as a missionary. All of us are missionaries. Some of us are sent far away, but all of us are sent in that next step out of this building today, or maybe across the aisle here. Make sense? Those are our identities. So again, Lord willing, each week we're going to break one of those down. So next week, if we come back together, if the Lord hasn't come, we're going to talk about being worshipers together. I want to, yeah, We'll talk about that later. And these identities are given to us through the gospel. When you hear us use the word gospel, maybe just this quick definition. It's the person and the work of Jesus. That's the good news. Jesus, God, comes in the form of man and walks among us, makes his dwelling among us. And he lives, and he walks, and he suffered, and he's tempted in every way you and I ever have been. And yet he doesn't sin. In that, he fulfills the righteous requirement of the law. God has a way for us. And I don't know about you, but I've messed that up every 15 seconds. And in his grace, Christ fulfills all those righteous requirements for us. And in love and in grace and in mercy, he dies the death that the Bible says is due all of us in our sin. Every one of us have sinned. And because of that, this is heavy. The Bible says we've earned death. But here's what's even more heavy. Jesus came and died that death for you. He died that death for us. He died that death for the Uber driver last night. He died that death for the lady who was going to jack up my hair with the scissors. He died that death for all of us. So that in that moment, we call the great exchange, this amazing thing happens. He puts his righteousness on us and our sin on him. And he carries the weight and he takes the punishment for our sin. And then after dying the death that we deserve, he goes to the grave that we're all going to face. The grave is real and it's bitter. Our family has experienced this a few times in the last so many months, and as many as you, it's a bitter thing, and it's a real thing. But then as I look at that, I'm facing my own grave as well. Aaron and I got to go visit a pastor's library, and they were giving us books from that. And every time I go to a big used bookstore and see pastor's libraries, I see my own mortality. Like, those are going to be my books one day, some kid's picking through, right? But that's awesome. But Jesus defeated the grave, and he takes the bitterness away. He takes the sting away. He takes the hopelessness away, and he gives us life, and he gives us promise of resurrection. This is good news for everyone. For everyone. And because of all that he's done, this is the person and work of Christ. He goes and ascends, and he sits at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's interceding for you. He's going to God on your behalf and my behalf. And at the right time, he's going to return again, and he's going to usher in the kingdom of God. All the stuff that we talk about and long for and want or protest for or pray for or cry over, all of this will come to its real form in our eyes to see, in our ears to hear, in our tongues to taste, in our feet to walk in that lush grass. Of all of the things we're talking about, this is coming to be. And this is why we say, come soon, Lord Jesus. No more cancer. No more messed up churches trying to be cool. You know, like we were talking about, from one extent to the other. It's all gone. Love reigns. And this is what Jesus has done. And because of that, all that work, you have new identities that start now and continue on. And with this, Paul tells us in the passage, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Hear this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. In Christ equals new creation. In Christ equals new identities. In Christ means new wiring, new ways of thinking, a new mission, a new purpose. In Christ equals something new. We are no longer who we used to be. I want to shout that out to anyone in this room that's carrying the baggage of old reputation, old sin, old hurt, old funk. That is not who you are. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That is too hard of a good news for a lot of people to grab onto. It's too good to be true. Yes, but it's true. It's true. The old has passed. The new has come. You have a new identity. And check this out. This may get skimmed over so many times, but it says, even though we once considered Christ according to the flesh, we don't anymore. You see, Christ walked among this earth. This is important for us today. He suffered. He was tempted. He was betrayed. He hurt. And he suffered. That's us. That's our story. And so many times that causes us to ditch our identities. You know that betrayal and hurt in relationship causes you to project the new identity. Fear of not being accepted causes me to project our own new identities. But because we are new creation, we have new identities. These are given to us. You don't have to work for them. They are ours. And this is where conflict in our souls erupts. Jesus suffered as we suffer. But here, check this out. We don't consider him in the flesh any longer. He suffers no more. Do you see that? He lives in glory. He suffers no more. He doesn't have anxiety. He doesn't walk through wondering what's next. What are we going to do? We don't consider him according to the flesh. We consider him according to glory. The glorious resurrected Savior who does not struggle, is not tempted with sin, who is no longer facing the pains of the flesh because of resurrection. This is why we consider him like that no longer. We consider him in glory. You guys get your head around that, right? We can get that. It's the Easter story, right? But I want you to take this a step further. He's glorified at the right hand of the Father. Glory, we hear. We will face, we've been praying today about trouble and suffering. But we're told that we will suffer. But church, sometimes we get our identity wrapped up in our suffering. This is important as we close. Hear this. The fact that we suffer is not our identity. You're not sufferers. Does that make sense? Satan will pin you up in that. I know, just recently in my world, like, I can't get my head around anything but the suffering or the chaos in my life. But that's not our identity. We will suffer. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You, me, we are still battling flesh, but Paul tells us we're going to consider each other the flesh no longer. People promised glory. People promised resurrection. This is the hope. If you were insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. We too are no longer considered according to the flesh. Our sufferings, again, do not identify us as sufferers. They identify us with Christ, who was rejected, slain, and resurrected. We have hope. We have promise. And as worshipers, as family, as learners, as servants, as missionaries, we have an identity in Christ. And we will suffer with all those things. I suffer in worship. Not because I didn't like the song. Too many people said, I was suffering today. I didn't know that song or the song's too good. No, I suffer because I am faced with who I am when I see how big God is. So with Isaiah, it was like, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. But we're not left there. We're brought into the family of God. And I'll tell you, I've suffered more at the hands of the family of God than I have anybody else. Got to be honest. But that's what family, we work it out. We work it out. We love each other. We walk through it with each other. And as learners, when your mind starts to think different than the world around you, you're going to get beat up. If you have what it takes to say it. Right? When you serve, you suffer. That just kind of goes hand in hand. You're going to give of yourself. This is going to cost me something. And missionaries, you might die for the gospel. And that's just not some Jim Elliott story for a time to talk about a mission awareness week somewhere. It is the truth of all of our lives. But guess what? We have the hope of glory. We are considered according to the flesh no longer. Because we have died to the flesh and now live in Christ, we will also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, 3 through 4 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Guys, we miss so much when we live in the anxiety of our suffering as if it weren't supposed to happen. The suffering is not the end. Glory with Christ is. Let me say that again. Suffering is not the end. Glory, eternity with Christ is. You are a new creation. The things of this flesh are no longer, we may struggle with them, but that is not what identifies you. You are a child of God. You are in Christ. Although we suffer, it's so easy. This may freak some of you out, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you struggled with something in the past, you put the front of it on. Don't identify yourself as with a last name, L-I-C. I'm a drugaholic, an alcoholic, a workaholic. No, you are a new creation. That is not who you are. He has saved you. I get the idea of being aware and trying. I get all that. Trust me, I get all that. But I'm saying that's not your identity. Karin, you are not a cancer victim. You are a daughter of Christ. But sometimes, man, we get so caught up in it. Hear this from poet and author Christian Wiman. He says, be careful. Here's a guy. He was a young Texan Baptist. Walks away from his faith, kind of drifts away from his faith. And he was struck with cancer. And it's brought his poetry, it's brought his writing back to struggle or declare the struggle of his faith. And he writes some beautiful poetry. This comes from not a book of poetry, but his book called My Bright Abyss. Be careful, he says. This is someone who's lived it. Be certain that your expressions of regret about your inability to rest in God, that means if you can't rest in knowing this identity, if you're suffering, if this is what you are, if you're freaked out, the anxieties, be careful that they do not have a tinge of self-satisfaction, even self-exaltation to them. Have you ever done that? Like, I've been persecuted for the Lord, and I get wrapped up in of all my sufferings, right? That's not what we do. I've been free from whatever it is for so much time. Well, that's awesome. Praise the Lord, but that's not your identity. Don't get so caught up in that so it's self-satisfaction or self-exaltation that your complaints about your anxieties are not merely a manifestation, hear this, of your dependence on them. Whoa, if you got that or not. But we don't depend on our anxiety, our sufferings. We identify with Christ in them. And if you can identify with Christ in them, you know that we are not going to be considered according to the flesh, but we will have glory with him. The promise of the resurrection. New life, new creation. Verses 18 and 19 tells us all this is from God. God through Jesus reconciling the world to himself, making new creation of the people all around us. Our identity in him brings him glory, and it gives others joy as we share this gospel in word and deed among strangers, families, friends, and as we do so as worshipers, as family, as learners, servants, and missionaries. We've been given the message of reconciliation. This won't be on the screen, but hear verse 15 right ahead of our text. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, who has died and raised again. This is our life, guys. This is what we're called. So to close up, our hope is to continue to see the gospel renew everything to the glory of God and the joy of all people. That's not just a tagline or a mission statement. That's a hope. We want to see that. Brothers and sisters, we will see that. Brothers and sisters, we are seeing that. We are seeing that.